Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for these dear folks that have come to honor and praise him for that. Now, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in this room, and all over the church building today. We pray for your Holy Spirit power upon Pastor Johnson as he comes and preaches to us this morning. Do a work, please, in our lives. Father, if there's one here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior this morning, has never settled that matter of having their sins forgiven, that today they'd settle it before they leave this room. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me help you with something right off the bat today. I know that we have a lot of visitors and guests with us, and this is a day and an age where people sometimes don't quite understand how to sit in a church service and listen. And I'm going to ask you now to sit very still and listen very carefully. If you have a medical reason why you would need to step out, we certainly would want you to do that. But other than that, no one needs to go out and get a drink of water or go check on things. You'll be fine for the next 2 or 3 hours while I'm preaching. So just, I promise to be brief no matter how long it takes. And so just sit and listen real carefully. The other thing I want you to do is turn your cell phone off, okay? Or if you have to have it on, put it on vibrate and check it and make sure. If your cell phone goes off during the service, a meat hook is going to come down right over you, pick you up, and take you right through the ceiling, okay? So be with us on that today and help us. Thank you very much for coming. It's Resurrection Sunday today. We're going to stand at the empty tomb this morning and we're going to take an invitation from an angel. Matthew 28 and verse number 6, the Bible says, the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The angel asked those folks who had come to the tomb that resurrection morning, come and take a look inside and learn some things from the empty tomb. I'm so glad today that I serve a risen Savior, that He's alive. You know, Buddha, the man who became known as the Buddha, is called the Enlightened One, is a young man in the northern part of India, and he spent his entire life in a quest for inner peace, to be in touch with his life, his spirit of life and things. He worked at that. Starved himself literally to death in this quest for enlightenment. They say the Buddha was reincarnated, but no one ever knew him or ever saw him again in life. Once he was dead, he was gone. Muhammad's body today is in Mecca in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, excuse me. You can go there and see the remains of Muhammad, the leader of the Muslim nation. All down through history, there have been great leaders who have espoused great things. Lenin, one of the framers of communism in Russia. His body lies in a glass coffin in Moscow. Almost 50 plus years now it is laid there in that coffin. You can see it is a very well preserved body. But there's no question it's the body of Lenin. He is dead. But Jesus Christ, dear people, after 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus Christ stepped out of the tomb and into a category like no other person. You see, there's something about the resurrection of Christ that separates him from anything and anyone else in the history of mankind. Great people have made great statements, but only Christ said that he would die and that he would raise himself from the grave, and he did. There's no question today. You can go. It's called Gordon's Tomb in the city of Jerusalem, out there near Calvary. You can go to that place. It's an empty tomb. And there's no finding of the body of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And this morning, I want us to go to the empty tomb and take the invitation of this angel who stood there as these folks came on the dawn of the first day of the week, as it were, to come to the tomb where Christ was laid, and the stone had been rolled away. And there was an angel standing there, and he gave them an invitation and said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Were we to go to that tomb this morning, here's what you and I would see. Number one, we would see a costly tomb. Before you stand and look at an empty tomb and look inside, you must turn and look over your shoulder at a place called Golgotha, Calvary. 3 days and three nights before the empty tomb, there was a great payment made by the Son of God on the cross. The cost of an empty tomb is a cross. Jesus Christ was crucified. They beat him like an animal until you could not even tell he was a human being any longer. Then they took him, they nailed him to a cross and drove nails through the base of his hands here and here, bent his knees and crossed the ankles and drove a spike down through his ankles and hung him by the weight of his body so that every breath that he would take, he would have to pull himself up by the nails or push himself up by that spike through his ankles to draw every breath that he would take. They were beaten so that blood flow would cause loss of strength and it would hasten suffocation. See, crucifixion doesn't kill anyone. Several years ago, my wife and I were in the Philippines preaching, and just before Easter time. And there in the Philippines and other third world countries in Mexico and Central America, there are people who on Good Friday are crucified. I was there at a place in the southern part of Manila where a man who for the 12th time in his life has been crucified on Good Friday. They literally drive nails through his hands and through his feet. I videotaped it. I watched it. Crucifixion does not kill you. They crucified this man, took him down off the cross, pulled stainless steel, sterilized spikes out of his hands and his feet, put him in an ambulance and took him to a hospital, and he'll recuperate, and he did it again the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. Crucifixion, just driving nails through hands and flesh, will not kill you. Suffocation is what kills somebody. So they beat them, and Christ was beaten with a cat of nine tails till the flesh was torn from his ribs and his body. And you could not even tell he was a human being any longer. And the blood flowed out on the judgment hall at Pilate's place. And the blood flowed on the Via Dolorosa to Calvary as Jesus was crucified. And he has to pull himself up for every breath. And in the moment of the height of the great Passover, when the Lamb of God came to give himself for our sins, God in Heavenly Father in heaven reached down and took the sin of all mankind and he put it upon Jesus Christ. And the Savior physically suffered, spiritually suffered for our sins in our place. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ made one great payment for everyone's sin, yours, mine, and everybody's. We come to the empty tomb this morning and the angel says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Remember, my friend, there was a great cost for this tomb. Jesus paid a great price. See, the gospel that saves you and the gospel that saves me is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's the price paid. Was buried and on the third day rose again according to the Scripture, the Bible says. All that could save us was done by the payment Jesus made on the cross. Now listen carefully. His payment upon the cross pays for your sins and saves you from hell. When in repentance of faith you turn to Jesus Christ, trusting Him, you're trusting that the payment Jesus made was all that was necessary to save you or anybody else. His resurrection is about eternal life. When Christ rose from the dead, conquered death. The Bible says in Hebrews that he through death might save those. Through death means Jesus knocked a hole in death big enough to take everyone who by faith trusts him as their Savior. So the death of Christ saves us from hell. His resurrection saves us for heaven. And all that you need for salvation and eternal life and forgiveness, my friend, is in the person of Jesus Christ. And his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It's a costly tomb. It was a bloody place. when they wrapped him in that 100 pounds of embalming spices and wrapped him in cloth, and they laid him in that tomb. And there's a great fuss about the Shroud of Turin, and was it actually Christ's burial cloth, et cetera, et cetera, and all these other things. Frankly, it doesn't make any difference. We don't worship a cloth, and we don't worship a tomb. We worship a risen Savior this morning. But listen carefully, my friend. When he was laid there and the stone was rolled into its place, the payment was made. And when Christ stepped out from that tomb, resurrection, eternal life is available to anyone who will come to the cross, trust Christ, and believe the empty tomb is their hope for eternal life. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It's a costly tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It's a borrowed tomb. Now you understand, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. Jesus Christ created everything. He made the very stone that would make the tomb in which he would lay. He made the wood, the trees of the wood that would be fashioned, the cross would be fashioned from, in which he would be crucified. When Jesus Christ came here, my friend, he came and he borrowed human flesh to become like us, Philippians chapter 2 says. He borrowed the womb of Mary and was miraculously implanted there in a virgin conception in the womb of Mary. He borrowed her womb. As one preacher said, he went from a borrowed womb to a borrowed tomb. But he did more than that. He not only had a borrowed womb, my friend, he borrowed the suffering and the sorrow of this life. The Bible said he's a faithful high priest who's tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. When he went to Jesus, Jesus went to the cross. He borrowed our sin for us in our place and took our sin upon him. Jesus wasn't dying because he was a rebel. He died because he was perfect and sinless. He went through 6 different trials the night before his crucifixion, declared innocent at every trial, but guilty. He borrowed our judgment. He borrowed our payment. He borrowed our sin. He borrowed all of this for us. And then when he goes to be buried, he's not laid in the sepulcher of a great king. He has to be laid in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea gave Jesus Christ his burial place. Now, please don't miss the picture here. Christ took death upon himself for us. He took your death for you. That borrowed tomb that we see that stands there now empty with a risen Savior from it. Understand, Jesus Christ stood in your place and suffered your death for you. Now, physically, my friend, we're all going to die one day. One day we are going to be, the spirit and soul is going to be separated from this body. Either by the undertaker when Christ returns for us or by the undertaker when we die a natural death. But that death holds no fear for us because Jesus Christ borrowed a burying place. And in death, in our substitution and in our place, Jesus stepped in the way of death for you and for me. It's a borrowed tomb. Surely he must have a great royal place of burial. Surely there must be something magnificent about the place where Christ is buried. It's just a simple hollowed out of the rock place where you could lay a human body on a little pedestal inside of that. Come see the place where the Lord lay. There must be a complete payment for sin, and Jesus did that with a borrowed tomb. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. He borrowed this tomb. He borrowed the womb of Mary. He borrowed human flesh. He borrowed sin and suffering. He borrowed separation from his heavenly Father. He borrowed all of that in our place, stepped in our way and stepped in our place and stepped aside and took upon himself that which we would pay to God if we do not allow Christ to be our Savior this morning. Friend, look at me. That's why this idea of being baptized for salvation, there'll be people baptized this morning. No one's getting baptized today to go to heaven. They're getting baptized because they're going to heaven. That's why this idea of doing the works and rites and rituals of a religion or a church to be saved, to have forgiveness, to get eternal life, it's insane. Don't you understand? All that people are trying to do with works for salvation is make a payment from now until they die. What about what they've done? You can't undo what you've done. Only Christ could step in your place. Only Christ could be your substitute. He is the only way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. See, there is no other substitute for this. If you're here this morning, you're trusting your church, your religion, your works, your philosophy, your belief, your baptism. You're trusting something or someone else other than just Jesus Christ alone for salvation. My friends, you need to realize He borrowed everything of judgment in your place. You must trust Christ to be saved. You must be willing to make a simple decision of faith and put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning. By the way, let me say this too. When somebody says, well, see, I got my problems with Christians and I got my problems with organized religion. Well, I always tell people, come to our church, we ain't organized, but that's not the point. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you mean to tell me someone would love you like Jesus loves you? Take your place like Jesus took your place. Suffer in your place like He suffered in your place. Took death upon Himself for you. And then we're going to say, no, I don't think so. Do you see why a person deserves to go to hell then? Do you see why, listen to me, do you see why then a person does wind up in hell? What did they do that was so awful? Let somebody take your place and suffer in your place and substitute in your place, make the payment in your place, do something for you like Jesus did for you, and you turn that down and see if what your attitude about it would be. Don't you see, friend? Don't you understand this morning? You must be born again. You've got to come to Christ and settle this thing, just you and Jesus. Forget the stuff of people and what they did or didn't do and what a church was or wasn't supposed to be. Jesus died for you. He took upon Himself a borrowed tomb, borrowed death, borrowed suffering, borrowed hell, borrowed judgment because He loved you and He gave Himself in your place. And when He died, He's laid in a borrowed tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It's a guarded tomb. The Bible speaks in Matthew here of keepers. In one of the other Gospels, it tells us there were soldiers. Now, when a soldier was given a commitment of trust, as these 16 soldiers were committed to trust, they were given a trust to guard the tomb to make sure no one came and stole His body, came and took Jesus out of the grave. When a soldier was given that trust, he would have to give his life in order to keep someone from doing exactly what they were not allowed to do. Because you see, if a soldier gave up the body of Christ because someone took it, he would forfeit his. So he might as well die saving it. Might as well die trying to do what he was told. These men would not give up. They would not give up the body of Jesus Christ without giving their life. And I don't see any dead bodies in this place at all. The Bible tells us that when God came down and He shook that place, and death's cloud was rolled back and the sunshine of the omnipotence of God broke into that tomb and Jesus rose from the dead. The stone was rolled away and great big brave soldiers had stood in battle and combat, fell to their faces and were like dead men. They were so scared. But don't you understand? Those soldiers and their presence simply confirmed the fact that this was not a hoax. That Jesus was not just taken out. That His disciples didn't come and take Him away. The soldiers' presence confirmed that Christ had to come out of the grave on His own in order to rise from the dead. It's a guarded tomb. Listen now, there's nothing more confirmed as a factual evidence and factual truth as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because there was somebody else there. There were angels there. And the angels stood beside and watched. Did they roll the stone away so Christ could come out? Listen carefully. If you've got power enough with God to raise yourself from the dead and power as God to raise yourself from the dead, you can move a stone. That's not a problem. The stone was rolled away so people could come and see there was no one inside that tomb. Jesus Christ stepped out of that grave very much alive. And the angels were sent by God as messengers to stand beside and say, come and see. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. It was a guarded tomb. All that took place around this tomb, my friend, is to remind us and to teach us that this is a risen Savior. All the earthly authorities gave proof to it. All the heavenly authorities gave proof to it that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave as God the Son and the Son of God. All this is to prove every reliable source of heaven and earth that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Listen now, come see the place where the Lord lay and see an empty tomb. It's empty. Come see the place where the Lord lay, not where the Lord is. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It's an empty tomb. Then the angel told them in verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 28, now go quickly. You go tell the disciples he's risen from the dead. Now listen to me this morning. We're either going to get an Easter sermon today, put on our little Easter duds and go to church, come and get a sermon and get up and go home, or we're going to come to church and maybe for the first time in our life, we're going to have to realize that empty tomb requires me to make some serious decisions in my life. An empty tomb is nothing but an artifact unless you realize he really is alive. He's alive. What he said is true. He's alive. What he promised is true. He's alive. What he said would be is true. He's alive. The Bible is true. He's alive. It's all true. Now that means you and I need to do something. That's why the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Look, empty. Now you go do something. You go tell the disciples, go quickly. He didn't say, oh, well, wait till next Easter and show up at church again when you feel like it. He said, you need to go quickly and tell these disciples there's something that needs to get done here. Now, friend, look at me this morning. First of all, for you, maybe today, it's this matter of salvation. You need to settle that today. Now, once and for all, forever, look in an empty tomb, see a risen Savior who no longer could be held by death, conquered sin and death and hell and Satan and rose again. He loved you. He gave himself for you. Why can't you just trust Christ today? Settle it. Know him as Savior now. Do it today. Do it this morning. Take care of it today on the spot. Right now, make certain you have eternal life and don't wait another moment. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you, friend. He gave himself for you. Quickly, quickly take care of matters with you and God. So, Pastor Johnson, I'm already saved. Yeah, I know. I meet him all the time. Christians who have no use for a risen Savior, Christians who have no use for the Savior's church, Christians who have no use for the Christian life, Christians who have no use for the claims of God upon their life. They live their life with fire insurance like they're going to heaven when they die. And if you trust Christ, you're going to heaven. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you have to go to church to be a good Christian, friend. You got that picture now? You don't have to live right to be a Christian, but you have to live right to be a good Christian. You got that picture? See, there's something about that empty tomb that says you need to get up and get something done here. There needs to be something done other than, oh, wasn't that a nice sermon at church today? Well, not this one, of course, obviously, but wasn't that a nice sermon? I went to church expecting some little wing ditty for some reverendette smoking on a cigarette, give me a little sermonette, and I got yelled and screamed at for 20 minutes at church. Maybe that wasn't what you were looking for this morning, but welcome to an independent fundamental Baptist church that believes in preaching. But the truth is, folks, listen to me, the truth is it's time for God's people to do something more than say, yeah, I'm saved. Look, take the fish bumper sticker off your car and get right with God and live like you're a child of God. Go quickly. Go do something about it. It's an empty tomb. He's alive. Do you know what that means? He's coming back. He's coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. We may not get to the Easter egg hunt today. We may not make it to the ham this afternoon. Why do we eat ham on Easter? Sounds good to me. I'm just wanting to know. I'm having pizza with the teenagers today, but why are we eat ham on Easter? I don't know. Somebody, I guess we ate turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas, so we're eating ham for Easter time. We may not get to the ham this afternoon. Friend, you may be standing in line at hometown buffet and Jesus Christ comes back. Just pray it's right before you pay. Because they don't give refunds. But what is this? Look at me. So what is this? We're a child of God, but we go slowly. No, we go quickly. It's an empty tomb. He is alive. Christ is coming back. Time to get on with it. There's things that now need to be done that require more than my casual approach to Christianity. Now, I'm a native Californian, born and raised in California. I love my state. I love this state. You know as well as I do. We got a laid-back, let-it-all-hang-out, baby, sloppy, agape attitude about Christianity in this state that stinks. Because we've got this idea, well, we got all the time in the world. There's an empty tomb over there. There's a risen Savior. He is coming back. We will stand before Him one day and give an account of ourselves to God. It's time to go quickly, not slowly. It's time to do something. It is an empty tomb. Did you talk to Him this morning? I had my Easter sunrise service, no pancakes. I had an Easter sunrise service this morning. I always get up. I do it early on Sundays, any day anyway. But before the sun came up, I just sat and began to think about my loved ones here on the other side. People that sit in these chairs and these pews of this church over these years are watching us from heaven now. And I wonder if even a portion of the burden they have for the people in this world and our city is even a portion of what we understand and believe and live by in our own lives. Go quickly. It's an empty tomb. Go quickly and tell the other disciples. Go quickly. It's time to do something now. What decision do you need to make, Christian, that you have yet to make in your life? What are you waiting for? There's an empty tomb. We serve a risen Savior. He has filled our hearts with His love and life. It's time to do something for Him now. It's time Jesus got something else from us than a, oh yeah, I'm saved mentality. Come see the place where the Lord lay. It is an empty tomb. Let us bow our heads for prayer, please.